Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya that's a microphone. What's that?
Is a headphone also?
Yeah.
I was just seeing if I could hear it.
Oh, okay. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11. Calculation of time from the atom. Text 17. Bhagavan Veda Kalasya.
Bhagavan Veda Kalasya.
Katiyam Bhagavato Nanu. Vishvam Vichakshate Dhira. Yoga Radena Chakshusha. Bhagavan Veda Kalasya. Katiyam Bhagavato Nanu. Vishvam Vichakshate Dhira. Yoga Radena Chakshusha. Bhagavan Veda Kalasya. Katim Bhagavato Nanu. Vishvam Vichakshate Dhira. Yoga Radena Chakshusha. Yoga Radhena Chakshusha. Bhagavan Veda Kalasya. Bhagavan Veda Vishvam Vichakshate Dhira. Yoga Radhena Chakshusha. Ladies. Bhagavan Veda Kalasya. Gatim Bhagavato Nanu. Vishvam Vichakshate Dhira. Yoga Radhena Chakshusha. Bhagavan. O spiritually powerful one. Veda. You know. Kalasya, of the eternal time, Katim, movements, Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nanu, as a matter of course, Vishvam, the whole universe, Vichakshate, see. Dhira, those who are self-realized. Yoga Radhena, by dint of mystic vision. Chakshusha, by the eyes. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O spiritually powerful one, you can understand the movements of eternal time, which is the controlling form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because you are a self-realized person, you can see everything by the power of mystic vision. So what did I just read? Who was paying attention? You were. Okay. What did I just read? Spiritually powerful one. You can understand the movements of? What's that? Yes, eternal time. Which is? A controlling form of the personality of Godhead. Because you're a self-realized person, you can see everything by the power of mystic vision. Yeah. So what did I just read? Nityananda? What's the first word?
Oh, powerful.
Oh, what kind of powerful one?
Awesome.
What's the first word? Oh. And the second one? What's that? Spiritually. Oh, spiritually powerful one. You can what? You can understand the supreme, the movements of
time,
which is the
Supreme Personality of God.
Which is the controlling form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the next word? Because you are a
self-realized
what person, you can see everything. Yes, by the power of the mystic vision. So, what's the first word? Oh. Second word?
Spiritual.
Powerful person. Yes. And then the next word. You can
understand
the movement of time, which is the
controlling form,
the personality of Godhead. Yes. And then the next word?
Because self-realized.
You can, you, what's that?
You can see everything.
By the by the power of mystic vision. So, we go over it one more time, we might even get it. Well, that's how we have to do it, actually. When reading Prabhupada's books, it's very unlikely the first time we read something we're going to hear it at all. Did you ever read for half an hour and put the book down and start thinking about what did I just read? Which book did I just read? So one has to go over it again and again. Oh, spiritually powerful person. What's the next word? You can
understand
the movements of turning time, which is the controlling form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can, because you are a self-realized person, You can see everything by the power of mystic vision. O spiritually powerful person, you can understand movements of eternal time, which is the controlling form of the personality of Godhead. Because you are a self-realized person, you can see everything by the power of mystic vision. Yes? So now, two things are explained here. One is that who's ever speaking, and who's speaking? Vidura must be speaking to Maitreya. Vidura is asking Maitreya questions. So he's saying, oh, spiritually powerful person, you can understand the movements of eternal time, which is the controlling form of the personality of Godhead, supreme personality of Godhead. You can see everything because you are a self-realized person, you can see everything by the power of mystic vision. So, in both sentences, he tells him that you are a spiritually powerful person and you're a self-realized person. So he's asking him about time, and because time is a very intricate factor, but still he has confidence that he'll be able to explain time to him because he's a self-realized person, and therefore he can see everything by the power of mystic vision. Purport. Those who have reached the highest perfectional stage of mystic power can see everything in the past, present, and future are called Trikalagyas. Similarly, the devotees of the Lord can see everything clearly that is in the revealed scriptures. The devotees of Lord Sri Krishna can very easily understand the signs of Krishna as well as the situation of the material and spiritual creations without difficulty. Devotees do not have to endeavor for any yoga city or perfection of mystic powers. They are competent to understand everything by the grace of the Lord who is sitting in everyone's heart. So, who can repeat the purport?
Those who can see past and present and future are called Trikalagya. Similarly, the devotees can understand everything in the revealed scriptures, in the material and spiritual worlds.
Good. So, amazing. Probably we don't test ourselves, or knowing how we're testing us, we don't bother paying attention. We think, oh, it's too much effort to pay attention. Got too many other things to think about. Bhagavan Veda Kalasya Gatim Bhagavato Nuna Nanu Visvam Vichakshate Dira Yoga Radena Chakshusha. So, what does Yoga Radena mean? What's that? Yes, by dint of mystic vision. And what does Gatim mean? Gatim. Yeah, it generally does. Here it means movements. Gati means to move. Oh, spiritually powerful one, you can understand the movements of eternal time, which is the controlling form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because you are a self-realized person, you can see everything by the power of mystic vision. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Kanamane Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Vacharane Nirvisheshaya Srinivadi Vasudhyaya Vasudhyaya. Things are actually more simple than we think they are. Therefore, to see past, present, future is not actually very difficult, especially if one is seeing through the scriptures. According to Prahlad Maharaj, punak punas charavita charavanana, people in the material world are chewing the chew. There is actually no past, present, and future, but simply repetition of the same thing over and over again. As something is repeated over and over again, just like we were doing, then it becomes easier to hear it, to understand it. Similarly, the material world is just a repetition of the same thing over and over again. 5 billion years ago, we can tell exactly what people are doing without even looking at an astrological chart. I can assure you 100% that 5 billion years ago, people were eating, they were sleeping, they were mating, and they were defending. And today, 5 billion years later, people are eating, they're sleeping, they're mating and defending. And I can predict 5 billion years from now, people are going to be eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Now, exactly what they eat may be slightly different. But, more or less, there's only 8,400,000 species to eat. So, in different places, they eat different of those species. That's all. One devotee who's preaching in Korea confirmed that they do sell cockroaches on the street. You can buy different types of bugs. They have... just like here in America, sometimes, or I don't know if they do it anymore, they sell pretzels on the street, and they have them in a glass case, and you pick out your pretzel that you want, with mustard, of course. You put mustard on. So on the streets of Korea, they have bugs in a glass case, and you pick out the bugs and you eat them. Crunchy. Therefore, it's possible to eat anything. People eat other people sometimes, what to speak of bugs. Now, eating may be slightly different. Mating or sleeping, there's not so much variety of sleeping. When you're asleep, you're more or less asleep. Mating is not really so much, there's not so many varieties of mating. And defending is more or less the same. Therefore, the material world, although we're hoping in the future there's going to be vast improvements where we no longer have to work to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But in order to get those so-called improvements, people are working harder and harder all the time just so they can eat, sleep, mate, and defend. 50 years ago, to eat, sleep, mate, and defend wasn't so difficult as it is now. Therefore, as society is advancing, they're simply making it more difficult to gratify the senses, and they're proclaiming its progress. Therefore, illusion is also perpetual in the material world. There's just different degrees of it. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, when Arjuna asked him, Agyakikeyo bhavan ugrupo namostute deva raprasida, Vigyatami Shami Bhavantamadyam Nihi Prajanami Tabha Praritim. He was asking him exactly what you're doing here. Arjuna thought Krishna was a nice person. He had seen him many times before, and he was always quite friendly. But suddenly he had fire coming out of his mouth. He seemed quite angry. Out of his eyes and ears and mouth were coming fire from many mouths. And not only that, he was eating the universe. Arjuna could have given him a sandwich before the fight, but somehow or another, he wound up eating the universe, which is not very nice, especially if you're in the universe and suddenly someone's chomping on it. Someone's eating the universe that you're in. So Arjuna was thinking, what has happened to my Lord? What are you doing? What's your purpose of destroying everything? Devouring all these soldiers, flames everywhere. And Krishna says, Kalo asmi lokashe krit pravrido lokansamahatamitaparidak, vitepi tvam napa vishanti sarve, evastita pratnyukeshu yoda. Time I am, the destroyer of all the worlds, I have come here to engage everyone. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, everyone here on both sides will be slain. In other words, Krishna declared that he's the number one terrorist. He's killing everyone. And not only that, he's doing it in such a way that people are imperceptibly being killed. At every moment, we're dying. Sorry for the bad news. We don't want to depress anyone during class. That we are dying. If you get a notification, you're going to die, then immediately you feel depressed. But if someone tells you you're going to die, you don't take it seriously. If someone tells time is killing everyone, yeah, but it's killing everyone but me. Because I'm going to live forever. I'm going to be an exception. I don't have to make plans for the future because I have an eternal future. So this is what Krishna says. Imperceptibly, time is taking everyone's life away. Both with the rising and the setting of the sun, everyone's duration of life is being lost. But people don't take it very seriously because they're in ignorance. Not only are they ignorant, the fact that they're going to die, or their body's going to die, they don't realize what they're going to do after the body dies. Now, as we all know, probably our lifetime is not unlimited. We can look at our palms and see there's one line, it has the lifeline, and eventually it winds up at the end. That's the future of the body. That's as far into the future as anyone can tell for this body, right there. Or maybe there. But on the other hand, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the soul is eternal. Therefore, we have a future after this body. Unfortunately, people are not worried about what's going to happen to them after this body. They're only worried about what's going to happen to them while we're in the body. If they were informed, they're going to receive the gift of $1 billion. Wouldn't people become happy? Yes? Because no one would believe me. We said, John Zierisper Tipton was going to give you $1 million. Would you be happy?
Yes. When you die.
What's that?
You're saying when you die, you're going to get $1 million?
No, even though we're going to give it to you right now. But we're only going to give it to you for 1 millionth of a second. Would it be very encouraging, $1 million for a millionth of a second? Now, how much is 1 millionth of a second compared to time eternal? It's nothing, right? Well, how much is 100 years compared to time eternal? It's not much more than 100 millionth of a second, is it? Therefore, even if we got $1 million now, compared to time eternal, it's completely insignificant, the amount of time we're going to have it. And what to speak of $1 million, what this body, the duration of it, is insignificant compared to time eternal. But somehow or another, by the power of the illusory energy, we take it all very significant. We take it all very seriously. Not knowing that there is a way of becoming serious that we can get eternal benefit, that we can get $100 billion forever with interest. Therefore, one should know something about eternal time. And what is the relation between eternal time and karma? Does anyone know according to Bhagavad Gita? and the three modes? What does eternal time have to do with us in the material world? What does time have to do with us? That under the jurisdiction of time and the three modes of eternal nature, this is in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, that there are five different subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita. One of them is called Prakriti, or let's start with Ishvara, the Supreme Controller. The other is called the Jiva, ourselves. The other is Prakriti, the material energy that's surrounding us. Another is Kala, the time, and then Karma. So these are the five subject matters of the Bhagavad Gita. Material nature is constituted by three qualities: the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. Above these modes, there is eternal time. What does it mean? Above the modes is eternal time. That the modes of material nature that are working on us are being directed by eternal time. Nothing's happening by accident. If sometimes we're in goodness or in passion or in ignorance, it's not happening by accident. It's all under the direction of eternal time. Anyone ever have the experience that one moment you're happy, the next moment you're not so happy? And we think, how did this happen? I'm such a nice person. Why is this happening to me? Above these modes is eternal time, and by a combination of these modes of material nature and under the control and purview of eternal time, there are activities which are called karma. These activities are being carried out from time immemorial. So in other words, time combines together with the three modes and produces our karma, our activities. So what we're experiencing now is due to the exact purview, or the exact, there's a natural sequence that happens. Krishna has it all worked out. There are laws of material nature, and under the laws of material nature, everything is perfectly arranged, that it appears to be going on automatically. But it's inconceivable how everyone just kind of fits into this big machine. That every moment, material nature is manifesting itself anew, just suitably for our karma and everyone's collective karma, which is inconceivable because it doesn't appear like that. It appears that everything is very solid and that everything's working by our will alone. But actually everything is not solid. Everything is appearing like a motion picture. If you watch a motion picture, there is one frame after another. And because it's being placed very rapidly on the screen, it appears that there is activity going on. But actually, there's no activity going on. There's only appearance of activity due to the very rapidly one scene after another being placed on the screen. And because our perceptions are not so acute, we can't see that there's only one picture after another being placed on the screen, and that there's no real activity going on, just pictures appearing before us. So believe it or not, that at every moment, material nature is manifesting itself as a new scene, and what we think is a progression is just one scene after another being manifested. And the control behind all these scenes is time, and Krishna is controlling time. Now, a devotee or a mystic yogi, he knows more or less if you perform a certain type of karmic activity, he knows what the result will be. This Krishna is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Karmana sukritasya hu satvikam nirmalam palam rajasas tupalam dukam agyanatamasam palam. Satvam sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha eva cha pramada moha tamaso bhavato jnanam eva cha. From the mode of goodness comes knowledge. From the mode of passion comes greed. From the mode of ignorance comes madness, delusion, and foolishness. And when one acts in the mode of goodness, he becomes purified. When he acts in the mode of passion, he becomes miserable, unhappy. When he acts in the mode of ignorance, he becomes further, even more foolish than he was before. Therefore, by understanding the modes of material nature properly, one can see what's going to happen in the future. One person was sitting on a branch, as you all know, and he was soaring on a tree, on the branch of the tree. He was sitting on the branch, but he was soaring the part of the branch which was closest to the tree. And one man came along and said, "My dear sir, if you keep on soaring the branch will fall down, and you'll fall down with it." He said, "Oh, go away, you're just skeptical, you're just pessimistic." So he kept on soaring the branch of the tree, and lo and behold, the branch fell down, and the man fell down with the branch. And then he ran after the man and said, "Sir, wait, you must be an astrologer, please tell me my future." One time Prabhupada was walking on the beach of Juhu, and one bhakta, a new devotee, was walking with him. And when Prabhupada was talking, the bhakta became attracted to one crab which was on the beach and stayed behind watching the crab crawl along. And Prabhupada said that just by going in this direction, eventually he'll get more and more deviated. And lo and behold, within a week or so, this new devotee disappeared. Because you give Maya a little inch and she takes a little bit more. As soon as we enter into the modes of material nature, then gradually the material nature takes control and we go up and down in the modes like a Ferris wheel. We may think we're the controllers, we have the ability to direct our lives, but actually we're already being directed by the modes. Therefore, when one sees the scene and the activities of a person, one can understand what will be the result. If one is going through austerities to get knowledge and utilizes that knowledge properly, then one becomes purified. And one can understand more clearly that we're eternal souls. In modern society, people are more interested in making money. They're not interested in knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. They want knowledge of how to make money. Therefore, this hall is not packed. If some millionaire came here and gave a class on how to make money and we were charging $1,000 a person, then the whole hall would be filled up, standing in a room only. Even if we gave a class on the sex life of cockroaches, probably more people would attend. There'd be more interest in that than on how to become eternal and live blissfully forever. Oh, who needs that? Dry philosophy. Eternal life to live blissfully forever. Who? Give us something substantial. When people are interested in such subject matters, then one can understand what will be the result. Greed, if one is greedy, what will be the result? That they'll become more and more greedy. When the wealthiest person in the world was asked, "What do you want now that you have so many billions of dollars?" He said, "I want more money." He wasn't satisfied with billions of dollars. He wanted more billions of dollars. That was his only happiness, looking at the account and seeing how many billions of dollars he had. This particular person with so much anxiety, he couldn't even eat. He was so much worried about his money, and he was so much worried that he wouldn't keep his money forever, that some germ would come and kill him, that he lived alone in a room for most of his life, and anything that entered into the room was sterilized through a glass door. Because he was afraid there would be some germ in the food that would kill him and he'd lose all his money. And guess what happened to him? He died. And guess what happened to him? He lost all his money. And where he is now, I'm sure he's not in a very auspicious place. Therefore, the conclusion is, if one has knowledge of how the material modes of nature work, one can see everything past, present, and future. It's not that difficult. That if one is acting in Krishna consciousness, he'll go back to the spiritual world. And if one is acting in the modes of material nature, he'll stay here forever. And that's the most important aspect of past, present, and future. Today we may be a demigod and tomorrow we'll be a worm. And the worm will become a Brahma after some time. It's simply a continuum of going up just like a Ferris wheel. Sometimes up in the demigod species and sometimes down as an insect. So today's Brahma is tomorrow's insect. And today's insect is tomorrow's Brahma. To take pride in our material circumstance is called false pride. Because today I'm a very important person. I have so many PhDs. I'm lecturing at the universities. People are honoring me with so many rewards, giving me a big salary. And tomorrow I'll be dead. I'll die from a heart attack, and I'll come back, maybe not in the human form of life. My next words may not be recorded. They may be... That may be my next profound words I'm saying. And no one will be there to take them very seriously. And the only higher education I'll get will be a 10-minute instruction from my mother how to catch rats. That will be my higher education. So it is not that it's not can't happen to us. It's for the bad people. We're Americans. We're good people. Things like that don't happen to Americans. Well, it happens to anyone who acts in the modes of material nature. The modes of material nature are uniform. They act uniformly. And unless one understands how they're acting, then one will not know what one's destination is. And one knows and one can see, if I'm doing this activity, it's bringing me back to the spiritual world. And if I'm doing or others are doing this activity, it's bringing me into the different species of life in the material world. Sometimes a demigod, sometimes a human being, sometimes in the lower species. Yadasatve privide tu. Palayam yatadeh habrit, tadotamam vidam lokam, amalam pratipadite, rajasi palayam gadva, karma sangi shudehinam, tata pralinas tasmasi, muduyonashi jayate. If one acts in the mode of goodness, he goes upward to the higher planets. If he acts in the mode of passion, he remains in this material world. And if he acts in the mode of good ignorance, he goes down into the lower species. Certainly by our activities in Krishna consciousness, we're qualifying ourselves to go upward to the higher, to the demigod species at least. But that will not be very auspicious for us to become a demigod. We become a demigod for, say, 10,000 years, and then we fall back and there's no more Sankirtan movement. There's just little people running around trying to eat us. The Sunday feast, we're on the menu. So that will not be very auspicious. To come back to work hard, like in the modes of material, in the mode of passion, simply to get more and more nothing. People working hard, but they're not getting anything extra. They have this illusion, I'm working hard, I'm getting money. But what can they do? They don't know what to do with the money. They don't know how to utilize it, even to eat, or to sleep, or mate, or defend, which is basically sense gratification. So if you have $1 billion, you don't know how to eat, then what good is the $1 billion? If you're winding up eating, you know, dead animals with your $1 billion, what is the value of it? If you have a very small income and you're eating nice, delicious prasadam, so who's wealthier, actually? Wealth, if wealth is meant for sense gratification, who's getting more sense gratification? The devotee who's eating delicious prasadam, kachori, samosas, or the person who's eating dead animals? The billionaire, he can't sleep at night. He's worried about his money. The devotees can sleep anywhere. Even I know one devotee, during kirtan, he jumped up in the air and fell asleep in the air. Unfortunately, he wound it on the ground. He broke some of his teeth, but that's a different thing. So the devotees can sleep anywhere. The ordinary materialist, he can't sleep anywhere. He has to take a pill to go to sleep, a pill to wake up, and a pill to counteract all the other pills he's taking. And even in terms of mating, people don't even have to mate. They don't have to keep any relationship for any length of time. And as far as defending, even if you have billions of dollars, you're always in anxiety anyhow. Someone's going to steal it from me. My bank will go bankrupt. Someone will come and kill me. The Russians will throw a bomb at me. So many different problems. North Korea will throw a bomb. Iran will throw a bomb. Some Muslim in Afghanistan will get angry and throw a bomb. So everyone's just in anxiety all the time. The so-called advancement in modern society, making money, no one's making money. Working hard, but that's the only thing they're getting is hard work. Maybe they're decorating their houses in a different way. Maybe they're living in a bigger house. But it doesn't mean that they're enjoying life anymore. They're just working hard. And even when they live in the house, in Radadesh, we're surrounded in Belgium. It's surrounded by so many people getting houses. It's like in the middle of the country. And people from Holland, they buy houses all around the area for a vacation. But they never get a chance to enjoy a vacation. When they come to live in their house, they have to mow the lawn. They have to clean the house. So their weekends, they come down there to spend taking care of the house. So they have a house in the Netherlands, in Holland. They spend the whole week taking care of that. And for their vacation, they come down on Saturday and Sunday and take care of the house in the country. So there's no vacation, there's just housekeeping, that's all. They're working hard for nothing. But due to mass illusion, mass propaganda, we're thinking that there's something in the material world to look forward to. That if the Democrats win the election, then everything will be better. No, we're still going to have to die, even if they win. Not that the Democrats won and now everyone's going to live forever. Or the Republicans won, now we're going to live forever. Nothing's really going to change. The only thing that can change is when we change our consciousness. And when we change our consciousness, then if we become Krishna conscious, that's the only real change. Otherwise, we simply have to go on doing the same things again and again and again without any end. If you think things are bad now, well, they're going to get worse. And then after they get worse, they'll get better. So if you think, oh, all right, well, they get better. Well, then they're going to get worse again. Well, that's bad, but they're going to get better again. Well, that sounds better. But then they're going to get worse again. So So what is there to look forward to? Simply bad and worse, and then better. Better to understand this philosophy, take Krishna consciousness seriously, and try to get out of here as quickly as possible. So thank you. Any questions? And people think we're crazy. Yes.
My question is, if we are fully controlled by the mode of nature, that they control our mind and intellect, so what is the soul, what we do, or what he can do, the soul, to advance people's life, after is the
mode? He can hear from Krishna. Hear from Krishna and his representatives and follow their instructions rather than the modes of nature. As soon as he follows Krishna's instructions, he's out of the modes of nature. He's under the internal energy. Although his activities appear to be the same, but the quality of them is different. They change from matter to spirit.
If you have to follow the instruction with the set mind and intellect?
No, he follows Krishna's instructions. No. You think Krishna is being controlled by the modes? Is Krishna controlled by the modes?
No.
So would his instructions be controlled by the modes? No. Daivyesha gunamayi, mama maya duratiya, mama eva ye papadyante, maya me tam tarantite. This material nature consisting of the three modes is very difficult to overcome. But those who have taken shelter under me can easily cross beyond them. Mahatmanas tu mam partha, daiving prakriti mashitya, bhajanya nanya manaso, gyatva bhuta dim avya. Those who are great souls are not under the modes of material nature, they're under the daiving prakriti, the internal energy. Because they're fully engaged in my devotional service. So those who are under daiving prakriti, they're not under the modes of nature. Those who are engaged in Krishna service are under Daivi Prakriti, not under the Maya.
This change is very subtle, no? Because
yeah, it's subtle.
One person controlled by the mode of nature can hear the temple and do some service, but actually it's almost the same thing, but change the...
Yeah, it's very subtle, sure. Question of desire. That's what we're doing. We're desiring. We can desire to serve Krishna with the proper conception, or we can desire to serve Maya with in ignorance. That's our choice.
Who desires the soul?
Yeah, we desire. That's why we're here. Your body didn't tell you to come here. The soul told you. You decided to come. You're the soul. You decided to come. And Krishna recognized that desire, agreed with it, and brought you here through his material energy or his spiritual energy. Prakate kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankaravi mudatma kartahamiti manyate. The bewildered soul under the influence of the three modes thinks himself to be the doer, which are actually carried out by the three modes of material nature. So we think we're the doer, but actually we're the desirer. And Krishna, through his material nature, is manifesting this material energy for us according to what we deserve and desire. We're put into different material circumstances or spiritual circumstances, depending on what we're desiring. So the soul is desiring, and Krishna arranges to fulfill those desires through his material energy. Therefore, in good association, if we dovetail our desires with spiritual desires, with Krishna's desires, then our life becomes auspicious. And if we don't do that, then we're forced to dovetail our desires with the combination of the three modes of material nature, according to our association. especially modern society, it's just an attempt to manipulate our desires. We already have a desire to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. That's our desires. And they're trying to increase those desires. To eat more, sleep more, mate more, like that. Advertisement. If you eat more of this, or if you eat this, then you'll be happy. So that's the advertisement. And therefore we desire it. Yeah, that's what I want. I want more of that. And then Krishna arranges to fulfill it. Gives us the intelligence how to get what we want to eat. Anything else? Because it's time to eat. Krishna's giving us the intelligence. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki, Prasadam Ki, Gaur Premanande.